Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Mesechet Zvachim is as good as gold. It's daf Pei Zayin. And we're holding on the bottom of daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. And we were in the middle of the sugya, which is about ikul. Ikul means digestion. It means at what point are the Basar, the Evorim of Basar on the Mizbeach, considered to be Me'ukalim, vis-a-vis what halacha? Well, we were talking about the question of whether you have to put them up again if they're poking, and the difference of whether, at least according to Rashi, they could actually be included in the Trumas Hadeshen, which Tosfos says is certainly not the case. If they're not actually ashes, then they're not included in the Trumas Hadeshen no matter what. But the only issue over here is legabe the halacha of putting it back up. So if, basically, since it says yolau mogda kol halayla, we had this contradiction, because on the one hand, the Torah seems to be saying kol halayla ad haboker in terms of yolau mogda, which means it should be on the Mizbeah. On the other hand, we had the implication of the posik that said that the Trumas Hadeshen is also Mechuyev Kol HaLayla, or according to the other Girsa, I shouldn't say Girsa, according to the other Shita, it was the additional Boker. Why would we need Kol HaLayla Ad HaBoker, which told us to add an additional pre-morning Boker, which would end the period. But in any event, we ended up with understanding that the Torah left it, so to speak, in the hands of the Chachamim to define what that Boker should be. And that, therefore, in a case where you're in a lot of pressure, and that was the case of the Regalim, tremendous amount of pressure, number of korbanos, people that are around, and the number of korbanos that are going to be brought, the amount of time it's going to take to bring everything up to the Tapuach, we went all the way back to the Sof HaShemona HaRishona, where we needed to make sure that just at the regular day, and that the Avodah would be finished in time for the morning. There wasn't a lot of pressure. So then we went ahead and said we could do it by Korot HaGever, which is close to the actual morning time. And then in times where we needed to make sure that everything would be ready because of the Chulsha of the Kohen Gadol, so then we went to Chatzot. But it wasn't specifically a din in Chatzot as we thought originally. So we're up to now, because we got into the question of what would be in the case where the actual ikul seems to have been done in terms of halacha, perhaps, but the Kohen puts them up again. What happens then? So remember, if they're pirshu kodem chatzot, now we're going to make an assumption here, which the Gemara is going to question later on. And that assumption is that this halacha, that chatzot oseh ikul, which Gavi, make sure that he puts it to his notes, chatzot oseh ikul, that is a din only if it's on the Mizbeach at chatzot. But if the Aver wasn't on the Mizbeach at chatzot, then we would not say that chatzot oseh ikul. So now what would happen, if that's the case, if the Aver fell off of the Mizbeach before chatzot? Chatzot passes. The Aver is hard, but it's not been turned into ash. So there was no ikul, because it wasn't in the stomach, so to speak, of the Mizbeach, at the point that we determined that things are mu'ukalim. At what point now is it considered to be mu'ukal, if he puts it back after Chatzot? So Rabbah says, well, you have to wait until the next Chatzot. And that chatzot sheni would be ochaltan. And then after the chatzot hasheni, so then you wouldn't have to put them back on the mizbeah. But before the chatzot hasheni, says Rabbah, they would not consider to be mu'ukalim. And if they haven't actually been burnt into real charcoal, you're going to have to put them back on if they're poking. Masha enken, after the second chatzot, even if they're not literally turned into charcoal, they're not physically mu'ukalim, they are halachically mu'ukalim. And therefore, if they're poking, you don't have to put them back up again. So again, according to Rashi, the question revolves around not only if they're poking, whether you have to put them up again, but also about whether they would be ra'uyin for being taken into Trumat HaDeshen and being placed in the special spot next to the Kevesh where they would be magically absorbed into the ground. Whereas Rav Chisda says, no, if they miss the Chatzot deadline and they're off of the Mizbeach, then at Amud HaShachar, which is the real morning, because remember, we had basically Ad HaBoker, but we said that that means Ad HaBoker. But obviously, Kol HaLaila would mean Boker Shalaila, which is Amud HaShachar. Therefore, says Rav Chisda, if they miss the first deadline, so to speak, and they're not on the Mizbeach for Chatzot, then if they are on the Mizbeach at Amud HaShachar, then that would mean that they are already considered to be mu'ukalim. After that point, they would not be put on, they didn't need to be put onto the Mizbeach. Amri Beirav, you know, Rav Chisda's svara is that the boker itself has that koach, and he proves it from the following. My time, the Rav Chisda. Consider. There are two completely different dinim which should not be confused and which on the surface you may find confusing. There's the halacha of lina. Lina means that something that was left overnight actually becomes posel for the mizbeach. And whatever it is, can't be used. Whether it's dam, whether it's evorim, anything left overnight is considered to be posel. So if the chatzot, Chatzot does not make something linat, so it's not lan. But Chatzot does make something mi'ukal. Now, let's not confuse lina with eko. Lina means it's posel because it's been left overnight. Eko means it's been on the Mizbeach, and it's considered to be digested by the Mizbeach, and therefore doesn't need to be put up again if it falls off. The two have nothing to do with each other directly, but Rav Chisda says, look, if you're looking for what the deadlines are on the Mizbeach, so consider the following. If something was left off of the Mizbeach, and now it's midnight, does that do any damage? No. It doesn't create something that's called lina. But Amud HaShachar, does that create lina and make it possible? Oh, yes, absolutely. So Amud HaShachar, which does make lina, should certainly do as much as Chatzos does in terms of the din of Iko. Amud HaShachar, which does even lina and it makes something completely useless, it for sure should be considered it to have been digested completely. So therefore, if the lo yalin chel of chagi ad boker is going to be chal, so then kol shekein the inyanim of the lina is chal, of the Iko is chal. The other case that we have, in which we also have the machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Chisda, is in the event that they were pirshu kodem chatzot, but hichziran le'achar amud HaShachar. How about now? These, here we're talking about, remember, evorim that are burned in the sense that they're hard as wood, but they have not been reduced to charcoal. Therefore, they're in this middle state where they're not physically mu'ukalim, but they may be halachically mu'ukalim at the point where you're no longer needing to bring them up under Mizbeach. So, okay, they missed the Chatzot deadline. Why? Because they weren't on the Mizbeach. So they're not mu'ukalim. Now, a Kohen came and puts them back up on the Mizbeach, but this time he puts them back up after Amud HaShachar. What's the din then? Rabbah says, it's still exactly the same. Since they were never consumed, because the digestion wasn't completed, so to speak, so therefore we wait until the next Chatzot, and the next Chatzot will give them the din of Iko, and then even if they haven't really been reduced to charcoal, they will not have to be put back on the Mizbeach. Whereas Rav Chisda says, they never have Iko. So no matter how much time goes by, anytime for the next forever. I mean, obviously they're going to be burnt at one point, but insofar as they aren't actually burnt, if they ever pop off the Mizbeach again, they always have to be put back on the Mizbeach, and they're always still going to be considered to be a Vorim that are Enamu, Kolim Lagabi the Din of Me'ilah, because it was not Ne'aseh Mitzvatam. And therefore, Rabbi Zera holds, having missed the deadline, so now we don't have any mukkar because there's no lina on the second morning, and having missed the deadline, there is no way that they're ever going to be mu'ukalim. Now, both of these discussions took for granted, as I mentioned earlier, that being on the Mizbeach is a sine qua non for the Ikol Din. Where do you get that from? Matkif L'Rav Yosef. I never saw anything at all about there needing to be on the Mizbeach for Ikol. I just saw that there's a deadline, and that if it's after that deadline, I would think that it works very similarly to the way that Lina works. Something which is not in its place. There's two issues that we need to decide. One is it kosher or not? The other is it still shayach to Me'ilah? And does it need to be put up onto the Mizbeach? And according to Tosfos, yet a third issue, is it considered to be ashes, legabe de trumas hadashen? I do not see what that has to do with being on the Mizbeach. So Uman Leimelon, who's to say, excuse me, that only chatzot berosh ha-mizbeach mashvela ikol, so it's only if it's on the Mizbeach itself that ikol works? I don't know. Dilma kolecha de mashkech lohu, bishav elohu ikol. Maybe wherever the heck it is. Who cares? Bottom line is, there's no longer a deadline to bring them up on the Mizbeach. I don't understand where you get it from. And therefore, this whole discussion is moot, because whoever heard of there being a difference, whether it was Poka before Chatzot or put back on after Chatzot, none of that is relevant. And in fact, Shalchu Mitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael that here we paskin Hilchot HaKarev Yosef, and that's true, that Ikol is not a function of being on the Mizbeach. Itmar Nami, Omer Abchiyah Bar Abba, Pirshu Kodem Chatzot, Yechziron Acha Chatzot, the din actually is, if they were there before they were taken off, Cohen puts them on afterwards, in terms of the din of Me'ilah, it's over. Since it was considered to be mu'ukal, even though they were off in the Mizbeach, there is no din of Me'ilah, because there's no longer a chiev to put them back onto the Mizbeach, exactly like Rabbi Yosef said. Of course, the Chachomi made it a takana not to be nene from them, but l'maisa m'niraisa, they're not b'nei Me'ilah anymore. V'chein tona bar kapora, and we actually also have a bright that is effect, not only the psak of the current chachomim in Eretz Yisrael, because bar kapora brought a brisa that said, pirshu kodem chatzot, v'yechziran la'acha chatzot, they are still yotzim midei me'ilah. So that means that they are considered to be mu'ukalim, because chatzot oseh ikul, and we paskin like Reb Yosef, even if it's not on the Mizbeach. So now, is it really conceivable that if there's a braita that says beferish that the presence on the actual Mizbeach is not critical to the din of Ikol? So what was really the whole discussion over here between Rabba and Rav Chisda? If it was all based on a false assumption, why did they continue this whole issue? Omele Rav Papa Labaye. Look, I mean, they tell us that the halacha lamaisa was paskin. We don't have any other halacha against that. And Reb Chiya Bar Abba, he also agreed to that. And he pointed out that therefore there would be no din of Me'ilah. And Bar Kapora even brings that in a bright. So I don't understand what Rabba and Reb Chisda are going on about. There's no such issue. They're discussing a non-issue. Something that wasn't on the Mizbeach at Chatzot is put back on the Mizbeach after Chatzot. Since when is being on the Mizbeach at Chatzot an issue at all? We must have gotten something on. So wrong. So Rabbi Rav Chisda, what were they talking about exactly? I mean, they're not going to fight all of that data, are they? Well, Marley, so Abaya said, you know, they were talking about Evarim that were particularly Shemenim. So they are not normal Evarim. They are Evarim that were extremely fatty. And therefore, at that time, we cannot consider them to be Mu'ukalim, because even though the Basar was Sharir, but since there's a lot of oily fat remaining, we don't view them as being Ukalim if they're not actually on the Mizbeach. That's what they were talking about. Let me ask you something else. We've been talking about the question of Ikol, and the question of whether Ikol is a important, in the functioning of Ikol, whether the Mizbeach is an important ingredient in determining the suitability of Ikol. I want to know, what about, I mean, you raised before the Svar of Rav Chisda, and you were saying maybe Rav Chisda was bringing a Raya from the concepts of Lina to the concepts of Ikol. What about Lina itself? What would be the din of Lina if something was al Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach? Is it going to be pasul because of Lina or not? So Lina mo'elet b'Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, or ina mo'elet b'Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. So we have things that are roi for the Mizbeach, and they were left on the Mizbeach. They weren't being burned, but they were on the Mizbeach. So the question is, now, if their mom is being burnt on the Mizbeach, that's the question of Ikol for sure. There's no way. I mean, Al-Mokda, that's not going to be Lina. You've already put it on the Mizbeach's fire. Lina would only mean if you're on the edge of the Mizbeach. You're not on the area which is the Moked of the Mizbeach. So now the question is, do we look at it as being Rochek from the Mizbeach, because it's not on the fire of the Mizbeach, and therefore the Torah said, after that, you only have the nighttime to put it up, and once it's there, I really should warn you that there's a machlokas, a very fundamental machlokas, all the way back in the first Mishnah in Brochas, which I'll get to in a moment, about that din. Of Lama Omru Chachomim Ad Chatzot, Kedei Laharchik Et Adam Min Avera. You remember that very, very powerful, the story of Rabbi Gamliel and his children and so on. It turns out that there's two very different approaches to that Mishnah between Rashi and the Rambam. So we'll get to that in a moment. We're taking for granted right now that whatever that moment of Lina is, the Pasha says it's still a morning. So if the whatever, the Kmotzim, the Evrei Ha'ela, the Emurim of Kachi Kachim, if it was on top of the Mizbeach, would it become possible because of Lina? So tell me, what's the case? Did you take them off of the Mizbeach after the morning? Is that what we're talking about? Because, I mean, if you didn't, Hilei Medelo Yardu, if you never took them off of the Mizbeach, what are we discussing? Because the din is that even if it's really pasul b'lina, what's the din if you brought something that was pasul b'lina? It was one of the cases of im alu lo yerdu. So it's a ridiculous question. If I put it up on the Mizbeach after it was 100% lan, on the actual floor, not on the Mizbeach, what's the din? Don't take it down. Fine. So then if I left it on the Mizbeach, well, now I'm going to take it down? What, am I crazy? So hashtalonu ba'azara, I'm not to lo yerdu. You said real lina is not taken off of the Mizbeach. So what's your question? If it was a lina b'rosh hashanah Mizbeach, it's an irrelevant question. Because if it's still b'rosh hashanah Mizbeach, even if it were lina, it wouldn't matter, right? Okay, so that can't be what we're talking about. Ella, we've got to be talking about that they came off of the Mizbeach after morning time, so it's after Alot HaShachar, and now the question is, am I allowed to put it back up? So if we say that if it's on the Mizbeach, there's no Lina, so then I can go ahead and put it on the Mizbeach. But if it's considered to be lan, then I'm not allowed to put it back onto the Mizbech, and it would only be im olu lo yerdu. So what's actually the fundamental question over here is, how do we view the Mizbeach over here? Is the Mizbeach similar to the Shulchan? Because, look, the din of the Shulchan is, remember, the Shulchan is a mincha. The lechem that's on it is considered to be the mincha. The levona that are in their special cups, the bezichei levona, those are considered to be the kmatzim of that abstracted mincha. Now, if I leave the mincha on the shulchan, which is similar to leaving the evarim on the mizbeach, right? So I leave the lechem aponim on the mizbeach over 7 days. So normally, what do? I put the lechem on Shabbos, I take the lechem off the next Shabbos, and replace it with the new lechem, right? That's the norm. Now, in the event that I wasn't able to bring it on the Mizbeach on Shabbos, and I on the Shulchan on Shabbos, and I put it on, let's say, Sunday, Monday, I can't take it off the next Shabbos because the Torah gave us a minimal amount of time of the 7 days that I have to leave it on the Mizbeach. So it's, I keep saying Mizbeach, I mean the Shulchan. Remember, the Mizbeach is called Zeh HaShulchan Lefnei Hashem. So, okay. So in any event, you see over there that when something is on a kli of the Beis HaMikdash, where it belongs, it doesn't become pasul. And it says beferish over there in the Mishnah itself. Afilu hein ala shulchan yamim rabim ein bekach chum. Says in Menachas, if the lechem aponim was put on after Shabbos, you wait until the second Shabbos. But how can I do that? After 7 days, doesn't it come pasul? No. Because as long as it's on the shulchan, it doesn't become pasul. Okay, so then maybe the same thing is true over here. The evarim, or whatever, the kmatzim, or the emurim of things that are not olos, if they're on the mizbeach, they're similar to the lechem that's left on the shulchan. That's one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it is that the shulchan is not a kli. Damn, I don't know what's wrong with my brain today. The Mizbeach is not a kli. The Shulchan is a kli. And therefore, it's all very nice to say that a kli is Mekadesh and keeps it in a situation where lung won't affect it. But maybe, Odilma Lakarka Midaminan, maybe the Mizbeach, which is actually built on the ground, it should be similar to having something being on the ground. And therefore, just like if you leave a varim on the ground, they're going to be pasul. If they're left on the mizbeach, they're pasul. So Rabba said to Rava, I can tell you, ein lina barosh hashem mizbeach. Forgetting, I'm not giving you the reasons, I'm just telling you that's not halacha. Lina has no place for something that's on top of the mizbeach. Now, the question is, did Rava accept that psak because it really wasn't explained to him at all? It was just sort of a fait accompli, you know, this is the din and that's it. Did he accept it or did he not accept it? Kibla mine or lo kibla mine? Toshma, let me prove to you that Rava did not believe him. The Itmar. Evarim shalanu ba'azara. So here you have Evarim of the Eila. And they were left overnight. Mikater v'holech kol halayla. So then you could continue to put them on the Mizbeach all night long. Now, what about the Mishnah in Brachas? Remember that the Mishnah in Brachas say that all of the things, kol masha omru chachomim ad chatzot, really the halacha was supposed to be in the morning. And it's anything that is meant to do Balila is ad haboker, but the Chachomim said, ad chatzot kidei l'archik et ha'adam in ha'avera. Remember that? Now, then it goes into a list. Hekter, Evorim, V'chalovim, kol ha'layla. Does that mean that that was part of the takonas, or they were only talking about the dinam of achila? Rashi learns over there that, of course, it's not referring to Hekter, Evorim, V'chalavim, those things can be put up all night long. The Chachamim never said ad chatzot. Masha Einkein, the Rambam learns that all of the things mentioned in that Mishnah, including the Hekter Evorim v'chalomim, those things are only kosher at chatzot kedei l'archik et adam en avira. So where it says over here in the Gemara Mekater, the v'holech kol halayla, it means minyaraisa. But midrabanan, obviously, you're not supposed to bring them up according to the Rambam. But once there's alot hashachar, then they become paso belina, and you can't bring them up. You only have all night long to bring them up, either midiraita or even midrabanan, according to Rashi. Lan beroshosha mizbeach, however, if the lina took place when they were on top of the mizbeach, then they do not become paso. And the mekater v'holech lo'olam, and that, of course, would be true even if they're lan, and they have a din of lina, because, as we said, im olu lo yerdu. But how about if you did take them down after the alos hashachar? Can you bring them up again because the lina didn't affect them when they were up on the mizbeach? Or, no, the lina affected them. It's just as long as they're on mizbeach, you don't take them down. But if you did take them down, you wouldn't be able to put them up. What's the din? Yerdu? Rabba says, as he just told us, ein lina barosh hashem mizbeach, and therefore what? Ya'alu, so bring them back up again. But Rava disagreed. So that means that Rava who says lo ya'alu, never accepted the psak of Rabba, and he continued to argue with him even after hearing the halacha from him. Shema mina lo kibla mine, he did not believe what Rabba said, and he held that lina is mo'elet al Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. Now, the next thing we read in the Mishnah was something that left us scratching our heads a bit. The Mizbeach said, I'm telling you, my brain's off. What's wrong with me tonight? The Mishnah said that Geshem Shah Mizbeach Mikadesh, Kach Akevesh Mikadesh. And just as the Mizbeach v'kevesh Mikadesh, all klishores are Mikadesh. So when we say all klishores are Mikadesh, that what exactly does that mean? That what, anything that was nogea in a cup can be put up on the Mizbeach, even if it's puzzle? Is that what it means? That it's Mikadesh it for the Mizbeach? So let's take a look at what the meaning is, as the Braita explains. Tana Rabbana. Look, it said, kol hanogea b'mizbeach. Now, I would have thought that that means only on the Mizbeach itself. Only Ela Mizbeach. How do I know that the same thing would be true of the Kevesh? Talmud Lomar, Et HaMizbeach. We find, that's not clear what this Et HaMizbeach is referring to, because Rashi brings a pasuk that doesn't exist. And it's obviously a mistake in the Girsa, but we still don't know what the correct pasuk is. There are two psukim, actually. Binogea, the dinim of the Meshicha of the Mizbeach, in both cases of which, the first one that was at the beginning of the Meshicha and Tetzav, and later on at the end of Shmos, where we talk about putting the whole Mishkan together and what was done and so on. So it says in both of those cases, where it was talking about Mashach, Vesel, Moyed, Vesak, and so on, Ve'et Mizbach, Holah. So there it says Ve'et. The same thing appears later where it says Mashach, Et Mizbach, Holah. So either of those imply that there is an Et. And remember that the word Et is not simply a preposition that can be dispensed with in terms of the Torah, but it's a preposition that is margish things that you don't see directly in front of you, but that implies a broader application of the verb. You know that, right? That's the way that et works. So if et ha-mizbeach can't mean just to do the meshicha of the mizbeach per se, it means that there's an extended concept of mizbeach which the et refers to. So it's referring to the extension of the mizbeach that's called the kevesh. Since that's part of going up to mizbeach, clearly that much would have to be included in the et. So how about, says the Braita, klei sharet minayin? How do I know that even klei sharet are also going to be mekadesh? And kol hanogea b'em yigdash? Talmud lomar, kol hanogea b'em yigdash. Now this kol hanogea b'em yigdash, Man, that's talking about tons of things, because over there, it was a reference to everything as a group. Because over there, it talks about Mashiach, and it says, Mashiach tato moed, veta ronai dut, veta shulchan, vet kol kelav, veta menorah, vet keleha, vet mizbach haktoret, vet mizbach haolah, vet kol kelav, vet akior, vet kano. So it's referring to everything over there. And it says, at the end of the list of everything, v'kidashta otam, v'hayu kodesh kodashim, kol anogea b'hem yigdash. The same language that was used earlier for kol anogea b'mizbeach yigdash is used on this long list of everything that was in the Mishkan. So then that means that there is a kedusha of the kelim gufa. Everything that went through Mishkan is actually going to be yigdash. So then that means it means very seriously that the kelim, not just the kevesh, also become kodesh. So now the question is, how much does that mean, kol anogea b'hem? So boy mine Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So suppose you have a kli sharet and you have something that is pasul. So would the kli sharet make that which is in it kodesh? Maosh yekatshu et apsulim. Now the truth is that Reish Lakish was not asking. He really wanted to know the question that was bothering us. Can these things be used on the Mizbeach? Does it have the same din of kol anogea b'mizbeach yigdash? But Rabbi Yochanan misunderstood him. He thought the shaila was, can kli sharet give kedushas haguf? And something which has kedushas haguf, you can't go ahead and be poded. You can only be poded kedushas dami. And he thought that that was the question. So if you have things that became pasul, that you're not able to put on the Mizbeach. Let's say you have solet for a mincha. It became pasul. Now you can't put on the Mizbeach. You can be poted. The problem is that if you were already had put it into a kli sharet, and then that kli sharet is mekadeshet, you can no longer be poted, because now it has kedushas haguf. So that was the question that Rabbi Yochanan understood, that Reish Lakish wanted to know. So he said to Reish Lakish, I don't understand. What's your question? This is the Mishnah that we're discussing right here. Tenitua. Kishem sham izbeach v'akevesh mikachin et haroi lahem, kach kelim mikachim. That says that the Farish. Oh, Marley, of course, that's not what I was asking. I wanted to know whether the Kiddush HaKli works to bring them up on the Mizbeach. Is it the equivalent of the thing having been put on the Mizbeach, which is the idea of Imolu lo Yerdu? And therefore, if it's in a Kli, it's also true that Imolu lo Yerdu, so to speak, an extended Imolu lo Yerdu, just like the Kevesh is part of the Imolu lo Yerdu, putting it into a Kli would be Imolu lo Yerdu. That's what I want to know. Oh, said Rabbi Yochanan, well, that actually was the Mishnah that we had 2 days ago, 3 days ago. It said that in the Mishnah, because there, remember, we had the long list of Elu im olu lo yerdu. And one of the cases over there is, Shekiblu pisulim vizarku edamo. It says over there, a carbon where the posel, or the zar, any of the psulim, were makabel the dam, and they were zorik the dam. Now, I don't understand what it means when you say they were both Mekabel Adam and they were Zorek Adam. What if it would just be they were Mekabel Adam and they were not Zorek Adam? What if a psul would be Mekabel Adam and a Kohen Kosher would have been Zorek Adam? Then we would say, I don't need to tell you Imolu lo Yerdu in that case. In that case, you're even allowed to put it up L'chatchila. Now, how in the world would you be allowed to put it up l'chatchila? I mean, I understand imolu lo yerdu, but once a pasul is mekabel the dam is pasul, right? Must be, because since he was mekabel in a mizrak, the mizrak being a kli sharet would now be mekadesh the dam, and therefore if a kohen kosher comes along, he can put it up on the mizbeach even l'chatchila. That's why. And therefore, the only reason that Mishnah had to specify that the pasul did both the Kabbalah and the Zrika, must be Gufa to tell me that in the event that he had only done the Kabbalah, it would have meant that you could l'chatchila bring the Dam up because of the Kedusha of the Mizrak of the Dam. Brilliant Raya! Says Rish Lakish, no. I mean, it would be a brilliant Raya if the word vizarku meant and, but remember that vizarku could mean and or. So if the Mishnah would be saying, in the event that the psulim were either mekabel adam or were zorek the dam, then the halacha is that im alu ler yerdu, because it does not have to mean that it was and, that they did both, which was yerdiak. That's not the point. It's not talking about that. Okay, I got another question for you. I'm ready to go for this idea. The Mizbeach has been Kaddish. The Kevesh is Bekaddish. I want to know if something is not on the surface of the Mizbeach, it's hanging over the Mizbeach. Is the air over the Mizbeach, is that part of the Mizbeach that's Mekaddish or not? Now we'll see that this is very nogea. It sounds theoretical, because it is. It's there in order to force us to contemplate the situations which are very not theoretical. So the theoretical consideration is like this. We have a drone that's holding something in the air over the Mizbeach. Would it be im olu lo yeredu, despite the fact that it didn't touch the Mizbeach's surface? That's the question. So you'll say that's a theoretical consideration. Okay, I'll show you why it's very nogia. Because it seems, says the Gemara, that you can resolve this question based on the Mishnah that we're talking about. Kishem shamizbeach mikadesh, kach hakevesh mikadesh. Now tell me something. How in the world did you get the, whatever it is you were bringing up, the Evorim or the Emurim, they were sitting on the Kevesh, and now it says imolu lo yerdu. Okay, so therefore what? Bring them onto the Mizbeach. Okay, but how do I bring them onto the Mizbeach? I have to pick them up and take them to the Mizbeach. But if I pick them up and the airspace is considered to be not Kevesh, so then they became Pasul. Because that was the equivalent of taking them down off of the Kevesh, right? So obviously, they are considered to be remaining on the Kevesh even though they are currently in the airspace of the Kevesh and they are not actually touching it. That's your proof. Because otherwise, there's no real meaning to this halacha since I won't be able to get them off of the Kevesh. What good does it do me to say imolu lo yerdu? So let's see that inside. Toshma, kishem shamizbeach mekadesh, kachekevesh mekadesh, v'yamet avir mizbeach, lavke mizbeach damit. You're going to tell me that if something is in airspace, it's not like the mizbeach, when then obviously the avir of the kevesh would also not be similar to being on the kevesh, right? So could you tell me how in the world you intend to get them from the kevesh to the mizbeach? The moment you pick them up in order to bring them up to the mizbeach, they become yarud. Once it's your root, you're not allowed to put them back on again, which would make the entire halacha nonsensical. So obviously, if I can pick them up and they're still able to be put on the Mizbeach, it means that so long as they were on the airspace above the Kevesh, they are considered to be in the situation of Im Olu Lo Yerdu. They're not considered to be Yarud. Great. Seems to be a perfect proof. Except, of course, you will answer, well, who's to say that you pick it up to get it on Mizbeach? Maybe you slide it along the Kevesh until it gets onto the Mizbeach. What makes you think that you're going to actually lift it up into the air? Don't lift it up into the air. I knew you would say that. Now I've trapped you. Because, remember, that the Kevesh does not go directly onto the Mizbeach. There is that little, you remember, all of you UK people, watch the gap. And the moment you get to that gap, which is between, in order to allow me to do Zerika, remember the Evorim, which we learned that has to be Adam Bezerika, Abosher Adam, so to the Evorim are Bezerika. It's all great, which you thought, okay, that's nice. And now it turns out to be a fundamental axe, as the Gemara would use the word, in Uriah, because if I'm sliding it up, what happens when I get to the gap? When I get to the gap, I'm in the airspace, but That's true. I mean, the airspace of this bear, because remember that the kevesh fit was like a jigsaw, which when it comes into the mizbeach, but still, it's over the airspace of the mizbeach. It's not touching any kind of surface. So as it slides over the gap, it now would become puzzle. So you can't answer me by saying it slid, because now I will still have a proof. So you see from here that the avir is definitely considered to be the same as on the surface, because otherwise it would be avir between the kevesh and mizbeach would make it yarud. Says the Gemara, no, that's not true. It's a small gap. So if most of what you're sliding would be on the kevesh side of the gap, it would still be olu, because it's still on the kevesh. And then as you slide it over the gap, and now most of it gets on the mizbeach, it's going to be mostly on the mizbeach. So one way or the other, there's no time where it's mostly over the gap. And that means that you go according to the rov. So maybe inachinami, if you picked up the whole thing in the air, it would be kaput, because it would be yardu, and kishem shim olu lo yardu, kachim yardu lo yalu. But over here, you slid it up carefully and made certain that it would never be yardu, because you never lifted it up into the air. So that would be, still would be telling me that I have no raya. All right, but if you're going to say that, you're going to be in trouble, because then you're going to have to say that the solution to Rami Bar Chama's question, namely, he asked, Yesh chibur la'olim olo, is there such a thing as going according to rov on some God's putting put up on the mizbeach, or do we look at each particular piece that becomes posel? In this case, it would be yardu as it slides over the gap. And that's the question that Tifshabadeboy Rami Bar Chama, he wanted to know the answer to that. Nobody offered him the answer. And now you're coming along and you're saying, well, it's got to be that that would be the situation, because otherwise we would have a raya from this case for the fact that it goes over the gap, that if the din would be that we don't go according to the rov and there is no chiburi, then every little piece that goes over the gap would be puzzle as it goes over the gap, because it was yorit. Right? So now you're telling me, Tifshot, you're telling me, let it hereby be proclaimed that the answer to Rami Bar Chama's question is that yesh chibur. Yeah, okay, so what do you want? It's a big deal. Okay, so let's talk about it now. I don't care. Well, you think I've got some vested interest in Rami Bar Chama, so Tifshot, fine, go ahead. No, doesn't bother me. Matkif la Rava Bar Rav Chanan. Wait a second. If you're going to tell me that the Avira Mizbeach is like the Mizbeach, you thought that it wasn't theoretical because of this weird situation of the Kevesh Mekadesh. I think it's not theoretical for a much deeper reason. It's going to be Nogea all the time. Because if you're going to tell me that the Avira of the Mizbeach is the same as the Mizbeach, how in the world can a Kohen pasul an Ola Ta'ov with, he's saying, I'm doing this Malika in order to be putting it on the Mizbeach, chutz lizmana. I don't care. Because since the Malika is being done on the Mizbeach, remember, you have to do that Malika on the Mizbeach. So if I have that Machshava, while it's on the Mizbeach, im olu, lo yeredu. So it'll never become possible with the Machsheva Spiegel. Because after all, if it's in the airspace, because the Kohen's holding it over the Mizbeach, it's already lach moshom Mizbeach. So you could still bring it up on the Mizbeach. So then what would be the point of saying that if it's possible, that if it wasn't olu, it would be yeredu? Matki Flo Reb Shimi Barashi, why not? Why can't it be talking about that the Kohen's Machshava was to do it in a way that it would be possible? Your problem is that if the Kohen says, I'm going to burn it a day later, that your problem is, im olo lo yerdo, there would be nothing wrong with burning it a day later, right? Because it's currently already on the Mizbeah. So how is that a Machsheves Pigel? I'll tell you. The Machsheves Pigel would include taking it down. So the Kohen says, I'll tell you what, I'm doing the Malika on condition that I'm going to take it down off of the Mizbeach and bring it back up tomorrow, which is Chutzvah Zmano. At that point, it would be Chutzvah Zmano. So then it would be a kosher Pigel. Ah, but wait a minute. You said he's going to bring it down tomorrow. I mean, if you hold like Rava, we just had the Machlokas Rava and Rava. So if you hold like Rava, that would make it possible, Lina, because Lina is Mo'elet Barosh HaMizbeach, then fine. Then that would be a Machsheves Pigel because you're doing it in a way that would be usher to do. But what about if you hold like Rava? Rava holds that Lina wouldn't help Barosh HaMizbeach. So even if the Kohen says, what I'm going to do is take it off of the Mizbeach tomorrow morning and then I'm going to put it on. Who cares? He holds Ein Lina Mo'elet Barosh HaMizbeach, in which case it wouldn't be possible even then. So then there's no Machsheves Pigel. Let alone Machshavta, so you still don't have a Machsheves Pigel. Oh, come on. All right, so according to Rabbah, the guy would have to say, I'm doing the Malika in order to take it off from the Mizbeach before Amud HaShachar, and then it's going to become possible Lina, and then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring it on the Mizbeach. This guy's like a real Lamdan doing his Pigel. So I'll take it down before the Amud HaShachar, I'll bring it up after Amud HaShachar, and then it's Usher, and that's how I'm going to do it. So that would be a Machsheves Pigel. All right, fine. But still, says Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, okay, then let's look at it the other way, all right? I'll bring it to the other direction, namely, Davir Mizbeach Izki Mizbeach, okay? Because if you're going to tell me that Avira Mizbeach is not Kemizbeach, then a Chatas Ha'of, Psula, how would you ever be able to be Mazeh the Dam? You're telling me that Im Olo Lo Yered. But since the Kohen has to pick it up in order to sprinkle it, so then at that moment that he picks it up, it's no longer on the Mizbeach, if you hold Avir Mizbeach, Lavka Mizbeach, and therefore it would be Yarud, and Kivan Shiyarad, you're not allowed to bring it up again. And how would you ever be able to do Zrikas HaDam of a carbon that was pasul? We said if the dam was put on the Mizbeach, go ahead and do the Zrika. How am I supposed to go ahead and do the Zrika? I'm going to have to lift it up in order to do the Zrika. And if I lift it up, it's going to become pasul. So the whole thing makes no sense. What you're talking about is not a theoretical consideration. If you're going to tell me that Avir of the Mizbeach is not like the Mizbeach, then you're throwing out all of these Mishnayos, because there's no physical way in which it would be possible to say Im Olo Lo Yerdo, and you can go ahead and do the Avodah. I can't do the Avodah, because the minute that I pick it up to do the Avodah, it becomes pasul. So obviously, it's still considered to be on the Mizbeach, despite the fact that I'm holding it up. Huh? I don't know. I mean, couldn't it be talking about that? You know, you do it weirdly. So you take the Chatas Ha'ov, right? If you're doing a Chatas Ha'ov, and you hold it all along the edge of the Mizbeach as you do the Zrika of the Dam of the bird. Or you do the same thing with the Dam that's in a Mizrak. If you're talking about a behema, you keep it close to the Mizbeach so that it's touching still the Mizbeach, which means that it is all along the Tzad. This is all part of the Mizbeach. And that way, you're able to do the Zrika. Zrika! Holding a bird like that and what? And putting the bird against the Mizbeach so that the blood comes out? That's not called Hazor. That's called Mitzui. Remember, there's two different ways of getting the blood out from the bird. One is you take the bird and you sprinkle it. That's the chiyuv of the hazah of the chatas. Well, you're not doing a hazah. If you're sliding it along the edge of the Mizbeach and allowing the blood to come out, then in order to avoid taking it off of the Mizbeach, that is mitzui. And as far as the cup is concerned, you call that hazah? You know what zrika? You call that a zrika? That's not a zrika. That's a pouring out of the dam, which is called shvicha. Zrika is not Shvicha. I got news for you. That din of Shvicha, that's for Shirayim. That's not for the Zrika. Not to mention the fact that we have a general concept which is called Derech Sherut. The Derech Sherut means the way things are normally done. And if you do things in a crazy way, it's not considered to be part of the Derech of the Avodah. So I ask you, be honest, even if you want to tell me, well, yeah, I mean, it's sort of like a Hazah because you're not going to squeeze it. You're going to let it drip out. I don't care, whatever you say. You really think that this is the normal way of doing Hazah? This is the normal way of doing Zrika? Come off it, man. So therefore, there's no way that the Kohen's not going to have to pick it up. And nonetheless, we said him olu lo yerdu. We're not going to throw out the Mishnayos. So it's clear that Avir HaMizbeach and Mizbeach Dami. Omer Ravashi, you know, you guys are completely off the wall in the case of the Mizbeach. Because there never was a question about whether the Avir HaMizbeach and Mizbeach, if someone is holding it on the Mizbeach. Because then the person who's standing on the Mizbeach is holding the thing on the Mizbeach. It's all connected to the Mizbeach. The question was only if it's literally not being supported on the Mizbeach. If somebody off of the Mizbeach holds it over the Mizbeach. That's what the question would be. Because then it's not on the Mizbeach. The cases you're bringing me are cases where a Kohen standing on the Mizbeach would be considered to have that something in his hand being on the Mizbeach. Well, of course he's on the Mizbeach. The Kohen's own goof is on the Mizbeach, and anything that's on it is considered to be on the Mizbeach. I was asking, what if it's hanging over the Mizbeach because somebody's holding it over with an extension piece of kanya? So he's got a stick. What would be the din? You never said anything about that. You're right. We have not been able to bring any raya for that. The most we've been able to prove is that if it's in the hand of the Kohen, that then it must be considered to be on the Mizbeach, which is logical. I mean, I was never even in doubt about that, said Ravashi. Okay, so that concludes our exciting daf for today, in which we've been able to analyze completely new dinim. What is the level of the Kedusha of Kevesh and Kalim? Benogea, these dinim of im olu lo yerdu, we understand what the dinim is in terms of the dinim of questions such as me'ila or whether you can be peida if it's considered to be psul and it's mekudesh bekli, you wouldn't be able to be peida it. That's a given, and we learn that out from kol anogea b'am yigdash is in all cases kol anogea b'am yigdash. Remember, even the kalim that appear anywhere in that list, absolutely. And then we have the other question, what is considered to be the kevesh? What is considered to be the mizbeach? Is it just actual contact, or can it be even held over the mizbeach? It turns out that really that is only a theoretical consideration, because all of the cases that we ended up talking about is where it's in the hands of a Kohen who's standing on the kevesh or mizbeach. And then the question is indeed irrelevant, because it has no actual practical application for normal daily dinim. It's a theoretical question. What would happen if somebody lifted it up with a drone over the Mizbeach? Is it still imolo lo yerdu or not? A fascinating question in understanding what we mean by the Kedushas Kli, but not really nogea very much l'maisa, as we've seen.